I guess a story like this one would be the only excuse to ever play Europe's Final Countdown on the radio. If you believe with the Family Radio Network that tomorrow is the end of the world, that's what Harold Camping, a California radio producer, is predicting. That means you've got about 24 hours or so to live the rest of your life. And some takeaway listeners want to believe that, but they're trying to make specific plans about the weekend.
Hi, this is Mark calling from the south coast of Massachusetts. I've been told that the world will end at 6 p.m. tomorrow, and what I'd like to know is 6 p.m. what time zone? Because I have a really nice roast that I plan on putting on the grill, and it's going to take a while. And if I need to put it in earlier because it's 6 p.m. my time zone, let me know. Okay.
877-8-MY-TAKE. Give us your end of times plans. So Mark calling from the south coast, yeah, of Massachusetts. They did predict the rapture will happen tomorrow, May 21st at 6 p.m. local for each time zone.
Everybody that is going to be still living in 2011 is going to come under much heavier wrath of God because they were servants who knew the way and had not obeyed.
That is the kind voice.
You know who you are message, sort of people who aren't going to heaven on the judgment
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I think I'm included. I don't think Buddhists
who is that
are
guy?
Going. That is Harold Camping, the California radio preacher on the Family Network that is predicting the end of the world tomorrow. And his believers, his followers, have been picketing unbelievers, trying to persuade them to convert before it is too late. So, you know, he's not the first person to predict the end of the world.
Mm-mm.
This is not the first time he has predicted the end of the world. But why are we so fascinated in talking and thinking about the end of times? We brought in an expert to answer that question for us, Paul Boyer, professor of history emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the author of When Time Shall Be No More, Prophecy Belief in Modern American Culture. Paul, do you believe the world is ending tomorrow at 6?
No, I don't.
Okay, but...
What a silly person.
But, I mean, clearly you follow this sort of unending fascination going back to prehistory with thinking about the end of the world. What drives that?
Well, you're absolutely right. Anticipations of Christ's return to earth have been a part of Christian faith from the very beginning, and actually it's a phrase in the Apostles' Creed that's the basis of the Christian faith, that he shall return and judge the living and the dead. What's striking about this phenomenon is Harold Camping has actually set a date, and that's actually rather unusual in Christian belief. In fact, it's prohibited by true believers, because in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus is recorded as saying that no man knows the day nor the hour when this will happen. So many evangelical believers are actually dismayed by Harold Camping and this whole phenomenon, because they see it as departing from Christian belief in a very fundamental way.
We shouldn't put this only on the Christians. I mean, that's hardly the only faith that has tried to deal with, that has talked about, predicted the end of times. Like I said, it goes back to pre-Christ days. So what is it about the end of the world that makes humans want to contemplate it? Is it sort of the Emerson theme of live like today is your last day, live every day as though it's your last?
Well, I think there's some pretty basic kind of psychological dynamics at work in end time belief. For one thing, it gives a sense of meaning to history. It gives a very dramatic structure to human history. Human history has a beginning, and human history will have an end. And if the alternative is, you know, well, we don't know, we have no idea if our existence has any meaning at all, then this message can actually be very very meaningful and fulfilling. And also it's a kind of a classic apocalyptic structure. The apocalyptic worldview divides all reality into very clear divisions: light, dark, chaos, order, good, evil, and that kind of way of structuring human experience also can be, you know, rather satisfying, particularly if you are convinced that you're on the side of righteousness and good.
And if you're looking for evidence, I mean, I would gather that headlines these days might help someone to be even more convinced. We're talking with Paul S. Boyer, professor of history emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's the author of When Time Shall Be No More, Prophecy, Belief in Modern American Culture. I mean, you got your Bin Laden dead, okay? You got your Fukushima nuclear disaster, you got your tsunami, your earthquake, you got some hurricanes, so you got tornadoes, you know, just put together a few you know,
flooding
floods
in the Mississippi
River, you put together a few headlines, you got a pretty good apocalypse brewing there, bud.
Absolutely right. And again, historically, biblical interpreters have taken the events of their day and said, here we see events are shaping up exactly as they're foretold. So when Islam first arose, there were Christian interpreters who said, here's the Antichrist.
Right.
This is the beginning of the end. And during the Napoleonic Wars, people said, well, Jesus foretold wars and rumors of wars, and here the whole of Europe is engulfed in war.
Did Nostradamus predict Lady Gaga?
I'm not aware of that, but you can find. See, these texts are symbolic, they're metaphorical. You can read into them almost any sequence of current events and find some passage that seems to anticipate.
Well, yeah, she arrived at the Grammys in an egg. You could say that's the pale horse, right?
Well, there you are.
Paul Boyer is a professor of history emeritus from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, author of When Time Shall Be No More, Prophecy, Belief in Modern American Culture.
Thank you, Paul. Better get that next book done, Paul.
I'm working fast. Thanks a lot.
And in the end,
so whether you're serious about this or taking a more tongue-in-cheek approach about the end of days, certainly doesn't mean life has to stop.
Hi, this is Nick calling from Acton, Massachusetts. I want to spend my last days on Earth doing what I love, grilling hamburgers for my family and friends.
Can't they give us a little longer so I can watch the Preakness? Jeez. All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Playing the horses on the last day.
Yeah. I love this response from Boston, Massachusetts. We asked, you know, what you'd be doing in your last day. He says, honestly, probably some remote place hallucinating my brain off. I know it's not your PC NPR response, but I'm being truthful.
What is a PC
NPR, I was wondering the same thing,
end of days response?
Well, maybe at this one from Annie Hawkins.
Bags.
I'll be in my apartment with my cat. No point in trying to fake it now.
I think I'll do some color coding of my CDs. Oh, yeah. 8778 My Take. I'm John Hockenberry. Goodbye, folks.
I'm Celeste Headley.
Nice
this is the takeaway.
You.
Might see you Monday, maybe.
Yeah. Can you feel